Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Alejandro Solana, and now we get back to GL and... Butt Foot here on AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM.
You gonna keep taking shots at me after that update?
Oh, that was the most uncomfortable pregnant pause I've ever heard. And he stared into your eyes the entire time.
Man, they're weird. Him, man, Hawk be always looking you straight in the eyes. Man,
yeah, that
like
was
that.
That was. I mean, but he did it for the entirety of that pause. And I wasn't sure if he was going to come out with Butt Foot, or he was going to call you Chan, or if he's going to just call you by your normal name,
or Papa. Yeah, I hate that. You heard him do that.
But he doesn't call you Papa. He goes, "Yeah, Papa," or whatever, right?
Right, an Italian, Papa.
Take it easy, Papa.
Hey, it really makes my skin crawl.
Well, it's better than if he calls you, like, Poppy, right?
Yeah,
that's weird.
You better not do that.
Even he thinks that's weird. He calls you Papa, but not, yeah.
My wife calls me Poppy sometimes. Mm. Don't do that, Solana.
That's actually what I call my dad. Like, that's what I refer to, like, when I'm talking to my dad, I say Poppy.
Right, that's normal, but it'd be weird if you said that to Channing.
And there's no way I'd make a son like you.
Now, when your wife calls you your Poppy, is that a nighttime story?
No, she'll do it. Well, you know, it dabbles in both night and day. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, my nighttime stories be different than your nighttime stories, Greg.
Well, yes, at least the stories I'm willing to divulge on the radio, yes.
Oh, yeah, you engage, see.
Yeah.
You get 10 years into marriage, you'll start telling them stories.
Mm, okay.
I'll get a little, you know. Keep it a little fresh. Yeah, the pool man.
This is like the fourth time you brought up the UPS delivery man.
That's a good one, the pool man and the homeowner, the single homeowner.
Mm.
Hey, my husband took care of this, but we got divorced. Oh, I'll teach you about the pool. You got to keep it fresh, man. Y'all don't know nothing, man.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'll talk off the air.
I'll write down a list of
more details.
You.
Yeah, that's good. Some scenarios we can play out.
Man, when you got a butt foot, you got to do some extra things.
Well, so this is what I want to do. I want to let everyone know that coming up next segment, Will Mantle will join us from Local 10. He last night had a chance to catch up with Josh Richardson. Josh Richardson's still in South Florida. He's going to be a 76er once the trade is official on July 6th on Saturday. But until that time, he's still in South Florida. But Will Mantle had the opportunity to catch up with him. And so we're going to talk to Will about that. He saw Bam Adebayo as well as Derek Jones Jr. all at the Miami Pro League, Miami Senior High School. So looking forward to that conversation. But hold on a second here, Channing, because we've gotten such a response. And before I get to that, we have a goal in the Women's World Cup matchup because they have gone to extra time. Like, they played the full 90 minutes, and they're going to 30 minutes of extra time, and the Netherlands finally broken through. It is now 1-0 Netherlands over Sweden in the 99th minute of this match. And it's not sudden death, not, you know, do or die. They're going to play the full extra 30 minutes, but beautiful shot, lower left corner. So we have a goal in this match. And right now, if the score holds, the Netherlands will face Team USA in the World Cup final on Sunday morning. So there's that. But what we've got an absolute firestorm of response from is the story you told to kick off the show 3 hours ago. Now, I would like to make it seem like we coordinated this, that we're all on the same page, like, oh, this is going to be brilliant. But oftentimes the best radio comes organically, naturally. And we just started the show. We're kind of chit-chatting a little bit. And next thing I know, you're telling a story. Do you mind telling the story of how this all emanated? Sometime in your childhood, you made a mistake.
Yes.
And it turned into what we'll eventually explain has become a theme on the show.
It's butt foot. I was 9 years old. I don't want to say bad. there's a difference between bad and mischievous. You know what that is? Like, bad is getting locked up and all, you know, crazy, stealing stuff, robbing people. Mischievous is like doing little silly stuff. I love MacGyver. Loved MacGyver. The old show with the guy that can make a bomb out of a damn tampon and a staple. I love MacGyver. So he did someone thing. He was like, yeah, and I love fireworks. I still love fireworks to this day. Like, for tomorrow, I'm blowing some stuff up. But he had a bomb he made in somewhere, and he put like wax around the wick of the bomb to slow down the wick so he has time to get out of the warehouse before he blows up the bad guys. So I said, you know what? I need to do that. So I melt down some crayons, and I'm trying to make this little wick because what am I going to get wax from? Crayons. I'm a kid. So I melt down the wax, and I'm going to make this wick. And I make the little wick, and I have the little candles and all, but I mess up. I think I end up going. My sister called me, and I went out to the pool. I was supposed to vacuum the bottom of the pool. This is when my parents were still together. We had a little money still. And I was supposed to vacuum the bottom of the pool, so I forget about my little candle, my little bomb slower downer, and I end up setting my entire closet on fire and my whole room on fire. So then we see the smoke. So I run back in the house, and I was a smart 9-year-old. I was going to smother the fire. I knew that oxygen is an integral piece of a fire. So I grabbed the cover, and I'm going to go smother the fire with the cover. But then a plastic toy, like, explodes, and molten plastic lands on my foot, but it's still burning. So the molten plastic on my foot, my whole shin was burnt up. I still have scars on my shin, but it's not as cool as the foot scar. So after it's all said and done, when they get the little wax off of there, it's third-degree burns. It's burnt all the way down to, like, the tendons and stuff, and they have to replace it. So they take a piece of skin off of my butt, and they put it on my foot. And then I was telling y'all earlier, and I was trying to explain to y'all, that the butt skin didn't forget where it was from, and it continued to be butt skin, because there's not a lot of hair on your midfoot, or on my midfoot, but there's hair on the butt. So then there's a big dark patch of hair, of skin on my foot, and it has dark black hairs growing out of it, because it is butt skin.
Yes. It is disgusting.
Yeah. Well, it's not really disgusting.
No, it's absolutely disgusting.
It's just medicine.
But, okay, so, obviously, I am no doctor. I don't pretend to be one. But could they have gotten the skin from somewhere but your butt?
Yeah, like people do. And people even say that, too, because other dudes, the skin graft community, a lot of people don't want to say my butt. That's a thing, man. IBS community. I'm a part of all of them. Big clubs. And people always like, they got it from my upper thigh, my hamstring, my this. Bro, it's your butt cheek. The reason they do the butt cheek because it's real meaty and you can hide it easily.
Right.
Like, I can wear a Speedo right now and you can't see my butt patch because it's on my butt. I can't wear a thong. I wouldn't wear a thong. It's not comfortable. I tried it and the stuff me and my wife do. So I don't wear too many thongs. But you can cover your butt up. So that's why a lot of people get their skin graft from their butt because it's easy to hide and it's like, real flaccid skin. It's looser skin, and it got some meat behind it, and it got some consistency to it. You know, your butt is strong. Handles toilet seats and stuff. It's medicine.
Even though I heard this description before, it is still absolutely vile and disgusting. You have a big chunk of your butt on top of your foot.
Yeah.
And it's hairy.
Yeah, because it didn't forget. It's still butt skin now.
Right.
Like, it moved downtown from the butt to the foot. It moved down the body downtown, but it still remembers, it's from where it's from. It's from the butt.
Yeah, I know. And it actually, nature and the human body is pretty incredible when you think of it that way.
Incredible.
That doesn't matter where that skin is, as long as it is still alive and connected to your body, it will behave and act as if it's still in the same spot it originally started.
Yep, and the left side.
So that part is phenomenal. The bad part about it, though, is, like, here's the deal. Jan, I got to admit, man, like, maybe I'm crossing the line here. You can do whatever you want, your own personal hygiene, but could you do us all a favor? Like, I don't hang out with you very much when you don't have shoes on, but I can't imagine being at the beach with you, being at a pool party or something like that, because you have that foot out. And you got hair growing on this. It's like a different color piece of skin on your foot.
Yeah.
Why don't you shave that thing? Do everybody a favor. That's absolutely disgusting.
I don't really manscape too much anyway, so now I'm going to manscape my foot. It just like, I don't shave my butt. Now I'm shaving my foot. My foot, it's a better chance somebody to see my butt than my foot. And if you look at it from afar, it looks like a birthmark. And that's how I get away with a lot. And you know those big ass, those big nasty ass moles people have with hair growing out of them?
Yeah, I got one of those.
The big hairy, moly, hairy mole? Yeah. So it could be a birthmark. It could be a hairy mole. I got my lies down now, but, you know, in my older age, I usually, when I was young, when you're a kid, 12, I never told, like, I'm 12, 13, 14, I would never tell people that there's a chunk of foot of butt on my foot. Because you're insecure at that age and you don't want to get made fun of. Man, I hit about 18, 20. Man, that story became so good, I wanted to tell everybody. It was in college. Like, I would take my shoe off a bunch, and I'd tell the story. They'd be like, you lying. And I'd be like, well, look, I might have got some action off of this. This story I'm telling right now, I might have got women off of this back in the day.
That's what I was going to ask.
The butt foot?
Right.
Man, I'm telling you, like, what's it called? Self-deprivation?
No, self-deprecation.
Self-deprecation? People love that, man.
You don't even have to try doing it.
People love that, man. I'm telling you. Women love that.
I was going to ask you, I had a couple questions here. Has a girl ever been impressed, or have you tried to impress a girl with the butt foot? You just answered. You said, yeah.
Yeah.
Has it worked, though?
Yeah, good story. Well, you know, and this is why I've, in my older age, I found out. When you're an All-American in Gainesville, there's not many stories that's going to stop you from getting action. Mm. So I could say I've told that story to girls when I was in college, and I, you know, still got to holler at them. But I don't know if the foot story helped. I just think it was inevitable anyway.
It wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, right. I could have told any story I want.
Right, and it was because of your status on campus.
That's what it was. Right. And at the time, I thought it was the butt foot story, but it was just it was just they.
That was part of your arsenal when you were talking to ladies.
Yeah, man, whatever it takes.
You ever show Rex Ryan your butt foot? Because we know he has a little
he's a
history.
Foot guy. No.
He has a little history with liking feet.
I don't know. I could see the part of nasty when you could see the one side's hairy and the other side's not. But the non-hairy side is the cheek side, and the hairy side is closer to the crack side. If that makes sense.
Right. So they took this from your crack.
Well, they took it from a large range. I wasn't that big though. I wasn't. I was nine. I had a little hamburger booty cheeks. I ain't have no big, gigantic booty cheeks. I had a little hamburger bun booty cheeks. I was nine.
So you have your butt crack on your foot.
Yes, if you want to say it. Yes, like this. It's true. Like, yes, yes.
I have to tell everybody. So it's like really difficult for me to go through this because you showed us your foot. Mm-hmm. You took your shoe off. You whipped your sock off as quickly as possible, and you literally, not just here in the studio, but also in the control room where Salada is, it's not like you just showed us your foot. You put your foot up on the table that we all use every day and that other hosts and producers come in and utilize. You put it up there, and literally you've got your foot, which already in and of itself, like, no offense, like, it wouldn't be just you, but anybody just stick their bare foot on the table, that'd be kind of disgusting, and you'd have to question their etiquette. But then the fact that you got your butt on your foot and your butt and your foot combined on the table that everybody's using, this has got to be an HR nightmare. Like, I don't know if anybody cares. It's kind of the holiday. People are getting off early and stuff because July 4th. But Salada, like, if we really wanted to, we could take this to somebody and say that, you know, Crowder stuck his butt, his bare butt foot all over our workspace.
Crowder's butt was on my desk?
Don't tell him. He's ready to tell on somebody.
So since your butt crack is on your foot, now that we've established this, you must be a big fan of thong sandals.
You know what? To be honest, and I didn't even know you asked this question. The skin is between my thumb toe and pointer toe.
It is.
It's like pointer. It's like, is it a ring toe? Is it middle toe? Pointer toe? People make fun of me for saying pointer toe because it doesn't point.
But it would be the equivalent of your pointer toe if you're looking at your hand and the equivalent on your foot.
So the graft hangs down in there, and it's tighter. And so actually I can't wear the thong toe sandals because it hits the graft and it actually hurts a little bit.
It does.
Yes.
You basically have your butt crack on the crack between
my
toes.
Big toe and my pointer toe. This is something else. This is cool.
I took a picture of this. I posted it on Twitter, at Greg Likens on Twitter, GREGLIKENS. Channing retweeted it at Official Crowder. Salada did as well. Salada, do you want to give your Twitter handle out? Oh, you got it right here, right?
At Alex M. Solana.
Yes, at Alex M. Solana. He's got it on the show sheet. That was a major faux pas on my part because it's right here in front of me. So, Salada, before you get mad at me, I understand. But here's the deal. We put this on Twitter, and we have gotten quite a response because it's one of the most disgusting things anybody has seen. And quite frankly, we've gotten a wide range of responses. There's all sorts of like GIFs or GIFs, however you want to say it. I still don't know if it's GIF or GIF, but we got those of people throwing up in response.
Nasty?
And we got other people saying that they no longer want to have the planned 4th of July meal / barbecue because they saw that. We got all sorts of people who are not only disgusted by it, but I think they're offended. I think we may have lost followers in this endeavor because we've offended all sorts of people by the absolute monstrosity that is on your foot.
See, I accept all feet.
Is this what this come to?
Man,
we should be accepting of you?
You're alienating my foot, man. Let me show you my pretty foot. The good pretty foot?
Well, we didn't see your other foot. You didn't show us
that. So during this break, maybe I'll show you the pretty foot and the offset. Think that could work? Would that work, fellas?
I don't know, but from this point forward, you know, out of context, I'm just going to continue calling you butt foot. Like, I don't know when we'll work together again, Channing. You're going on vacation. Hawk's out. I believe I'll be filling in for you guys, although you won't be here next week. But from this point forward, it's endearing. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's out of love, but I'll be calling you butt foot from this point forward.
I love it, man. I embrace it. I'd say it is the crumbs. The crumbs of a human. My crumbs are messed up teeth and butt foot, and I'll embrace them. You know, the little extras of a meal.
Oh, my goodness.
There's the big steaks on the side, little extras of a meal.
Well, we're going to try and class this place up when we come back. Will Manso is going to join us, who does an excellent job, obviously, on Local 10 as a sports director. You see him during the season on the Heat broadcasts on Fox Sports Sun. He was at the Miami Pro League last night and spoke to Josh Richardson, Bam Adebayo, Derek Jones Jr. We'll come back. I hope we can move on. I don't know. Maybe we'll ask Will about the butt foot as well. But we know we'll talk Miami Heat basketball. Stay tuned. That's coming up next year on 560 WQAM. Welcome back here to the Hawk and Crowder Show. Greg Likens filling in for Mark Hockman alongside Channing Crowder as we continue on here. As, my goodness, we've got so much to talk about in the world of the Miami Heat. For more on that, we're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline where we shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. And for more on everything going on with this busy, suddenly off-season for the Heat, Will Manso joins us now, sports director of Local 10. Of course, you can see him during the season as part of Miami Heat television broadcasts on Fox Sports Sun and follow him at Will Manso on Twitter. Will, a very good Wednesday to you. How's everything going?
Doing well, but like you said, man, it's crazy to keep up with all this Heat stuff. We had these quiet off-seasons a couple of years, and I think we're all catching up and cramming it all in one off-season.
We certainly are, and Will, I'm going to start here off the beaten path for a second, and I'm sure you probably didn't hear the first segment of the show, and I don't mean to disgust you, but Channing Crowder told us a story how as a 9-year-old, he started his foot on fire, got third-degree burns, and long story short, he needed a skin graft to fix it, and he got it from his butt, and he just showed us a picture of it. He's literally got a butt foot.
He showed you a picture of his butt or of the foot?
I showed him my foot, but it is skin from my butt, Will.
You know, I'm very sorry. I'm going to have to get to the station and listen to the segment right away. I don't know how to react to that.
Emailing it to you right now, Will.
But so literally, Will, there was a skin graft necessary. They took it from his butt. I just learned this out of nowhere. Crowder just absolutely surprised us with this, and he showed us during the commercial break. I just posted on Twitter a picture of it, but he literally has a different shade of skin and got hair growing on it.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So you've got butt hair growing on your foot?
Yeah, it's crazy because the skin, even though it's on my foot, Will, it kept its identity as butt skin. So it still kept the follicles and kept the hair. The science is amazing.
So it's just a random part of your foot. You've kind of got a soft, silky feel to it, I see.
Yeah, man. I rub it sometimes for good luck, like a genie in a bottle.
Oh, man.
Will, thank you for letting us get that out of the way first.
No, now I'm curious. I want to hear the segment and see the picture. But yeah,
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, Channing.
Greg, I think you tweeted it.
I did. I just tweeted it. So you can check that out in a little bit here, Will. All right, let's get down to business. Will, you've been busy covering everything involving the Miami Heat. We want to talk about Jimmy Butler and Hassan Whiteside, all that in a moment. But you were on the scene last night at Miami Senior High School. You spoke to Josh Richardson at the Miami Pro League. What was his reaction to being traded to Philadelphia?
You know, it was a really weird thing to see him, because he walked in to this game, and it's in a high school gym at Miami Senior High. There's, you know, a few hundred people there. It was a packed gym, but, you know, it's the intimacy of a high school gym. And the announcer says, hey, there was Jay Richards in the house. And everybody gave him such an ovation, but it's an awkward ovation because, you know, hey, you got traded, you know, and you're not here anymore, and everybody's happy about this Jimmy Butler, and you forget the other side. So when I went over to talk to him, I just said, hey, man, I know you've had a crazy couple of days. He said, no, that's cool. And, you know, I just basically said, what did you think? And he said, I was a little caught off guard, you know. But I think he sat down, you know, he spoke to the Sixers, spoke to their head coach, spoke to Brett Brown, and, you know, he started thinking about what they had, the players they had, playing with Joel Embiid and these guys that are competing for a championship. And he said, you know what, this isn't a bad situation to be in, even though I love Miami, would have loved to stay. As far as the Heat look, you guys probably saw his social media, the post he had. He's very grateful. He was a second-round pick, which we know that that's very hard to succeed in the league as a second-round pick. He gave him a chance right away. He took advantage of that, and he's going to always be grateful. He said, I'm always going to have a part of me that is grateful. He will always have love for the Heat, but I think he's genuinely excited now that it's kind of passed a couple of days to think, man, I'm going to be playing with a team that's got a chance at the title next year, and that's a pretty cool feeling for a young guy who's just entering his prime.
And, Will, Jay Rich, you know, he's a great player. I believe he's going to start for any team he plays on. I believe he can contribute to a championship. But did you want to see a little more of what his ceiling could have been? You know what I'm saying? Did you want to see more of Jay Rich and where he could have been if he did stay with the Heat?
Well, I think, you know what it is, Channing? Yes, number one. The answer is simply yes. But I think the ceiling in many ways is to be kind of Jimmy Butler, except with maybe being more a three-point shooter. You know, Jay Rich, especially remember his rookie year, he was sensational the second half of the year. Then he went through some injury issues. But he's a guy that, when he's on the court, is a very dangerous three-point shooter when he gets in rhythm and gets in that confidence. I think there was a higher ceiling to him, and maybe that ceiling to a lot of people is a Jimmy Butler-type player. You know, a guy who is a two-way player who can play as well defensively as offensively. Did Jay Rich have that window of being a 23-point scorer? You know, I think he could in the right opportunity, but I don't think that obviously is going to be his opportunity in Philly. He's going to be, as you said, one of the cogs of a piece of a championship team, and I think he could absolutely be that. I think he would have continued to progress here. I think he's the kind of guy that was perfect for the Heat culture, really brought into it, but I think he's going to take that with him and succeed wherever he goes, and for now it's going to be Philly.
Will Mansell, sports director, Local 10, joining us here on 560 WQAM. You also had a chance last night to catch up with Bam Adebayo, Derrick Jones Jr., who were participating in the Miami Pro League. How did they look? What'd you learn from that experience? Because I saw some of the clips you posted on social media, Will, and I know it's just a summer league action, but they look pretty good.
I mean, it's incredible to watch. And Channing knows this as a guy who played in the league. You know, and I'm sure you've seen it, Channing. Like, when you're around guys who maybe played, like, college ball, or, you know, they were studs in high school but never made it. And then, you know, you're an NFL player. You've been around NFL players. You stand out. The NFL player in his prime just stands out over anything. So you've got these guys that are – a lot of these guys played internationally, played in college. You know, maybe you're even hanging around trying to make a G League team. You put Derrick Jones Jr. and Bam Adebayo out there, and it's a significant leap. And it was fun to watch. I mean, they were putting on a show. More than anything, they look in great shape. And what I love about the Heat young players, you know, and Josh was one of them too, is that Bam and Derrick haven't stopped working since the end of the season. I mean, I saw Derrick the week earlier at a Heat camp, and he said, I'm here all offseason. I didn't even take a vacation. I'm here. I'm training every day. I'm working out every day. And Bam, who is already kind of a freak of nature physically, looks even bigger and leaner. And they're both excited about their roles. And look, they both get a little nervous when you start hearing trade rumors. And Derrick himself said, for a minute, I thought I was traded, you know, because I read what everyone else read, that I was headed to Dallas. But he said he spoke to people with the Heat, and they said, look, we're not moving you. You're here. And that made him feel good, because those guys are working hard. And I think, you know, what Channing was saying about Jay Rich being a piece of a championship team, I think these two guys, when you surround them with star players, and Jimmy's that first step, these guys have the athletic ability, the work ethic to get better, to also be really key contributors on championship-level teams. And I hope we get a chance to see that soon with those two in the near future.
And Will, with the Whiteside deal, with JJ's deal, Waiters' deal, and, you know, being a 500 team, I'm not going to lie. I was one of the people that started to question Pat Riley. Are these last 3 days, is this getting that testament to Pat Riley's genius?
I think so, and I think to the people that were frustrated, and look, a lot of times when I talk about Pat Riley, people think I'm just a homer and I'm just defending Riley, and I get it. You know, I want the Heat to do well. I have a lot of faith that Riley is the guy to make them do well, but he's absolutely screwed up things in the last couple of years in certain moves. He's absolutely made moves that haven't worked out. He's admitted as much, but to admit that someone maybe didn't make moves that worked out for the best isn't to say they've lost it or they can't do it again. It's how you correct those moves. And Pat's been trying for two off seasons to try to get this right. And I think this off season was the one where he finally put his foot down and said, screw this, I'm getting something done. And they found a way with a horrendous cap situation to go into the off season and get one of the premier free agents. And think about it. The Knicks went in with $70 million available and couldn't sign a premier free agent. Pat Riley and Andy and Spo, they had no money, strapped up against the tax, all these things, and they end up with Jimmy Butler, move Hassan Whiteside, and are still talking about other moves potentially. I think that should prove to everyone that not only does Pat Riley still have it, but he still has the passion to make sure he's going to go out a winner and not make this a mediocre team.
Yeah, it's been incredible. The first 24 hours of free agency, when you assume that the Heat weren't in position to make any moves, and they've done everything you just described, it's been absolutely phenomenal. Will Mansell joining us here, sports director, Local 10, joining us on QAM. All right, Will, with that being said, Jimmy Butler was convinced to come to Miami for a multitude of reasons. How good do you think he can be as the man working in the Heat culture?
You know, Bam yesterday when I asked him about it said he's kind of that junkyard dog on offense and defense. And I think that was a great description, because the one thing you see about Jimmy Butler, and it gets perceived at times as being that he's kind of diva-ish, he has an attitude, but his attitude to me is the attitude that Eric Spoelstra wants in that locker room. What have the Heat been missing the last few years is that alpha. And, you know, Dwayne was the alpha for over a decade when he was in his prime. Then he left. And when he left in that little window of a year and a half, they lost that identity of a leader. And he came back for the Last Dance. It was a lot of fun. But he came back knowing that I can't be that alpha. Somebody else has to be that lead guy, because I'm done. That's it. At the end of the year, I'm going. And he had a great year, and it was a lot of fun. But it left behind his young core still without that identity and that alpha guy. Jimmy absolutely comes in. So right from a personality, locker room, leader perspective, he's going to come in. He's not going to be afraid to tell you you screwed up. He's not going to be afraid to butt heads with his coach for winning reasons, not for diva reasons. He's not going to be afraid to speak up. And when you combine that with a guy who, again, as a two-way player who could play great defense, I think he's a guy that in this Heat system is going to average 21, 22, 23 points a game. Back to that guy you saw in Chicago, facilitate, take the big shot when needed, not be afraid to take that big shot in the moment. I think you get that, and quite frankly, that's what the Heat are missing. I mean, we could talk all day about needing more stars to truly contend for a championship, but this is step one, and it's a huge step in trying to get back to that relevancy of being a championship team.
I'm with you, Will. This was step one, and we know, like, there's no championship next season, but now Jimmy's here. He can pull other free agents. I'm not hating. They were calling me a hater yesterday, Will. I'm not hating, but is Jimmy Butler number one? The guy that comes in, like, even when Wade was here, LeBron came in as one, Wade took a back seat. Is Jimmy Butler the number one option on a championship team?
You know what? Probably not. I think that's fair to say that the number one option, and that's just the way the league is, because how many true number one options are there in the league? You know, like real number one, that, like, you know, that guy who's just going to score 30 a game and take over a game, score 45. I mean, you're talking about it. 10 to 12 at most, and some people may think that's even too long of a list. I look at Jimmy as that next tier of the next 10 or 12. I think he's a top 15, 18 player in the league. But it's very hard to compare to Kawhi Leonard, to those. But, you know, you look at what Kawhi did, though. Could Jimmy Butler, in a situation like if he went to Toronto last year and a Siakam takes that step and a Danny Green is that veteran, Ibaka, and these guys that they had that played these roles, could Jimmy Butler have been that Kawhi-type player? I think so, as far as the leader and the scorer. Now, Kawhi is obviously, I think, at a step above that. But I think Jimmy, with the right core around them, can absolutely be that guy. But you got to get the core. I don't think it's with this core, guys. I don't see Jimmy Butler leading this Heat team to a championship and pulling the Kawhi Leonard. But I think that he's got that skill set that if you combine it with another superstar, you could absolutely be talking that.
Yeah, and Channing brings up a good point. Will, I think you just described that very well, but I keep just thinking back to the way I felt about this team at 5 o'clock on Sunday. And I just assumed it was going to be, you know, this upcoming season's pretty much the same roster, and they were going to come back and, you know, maybe try to push for the 8th seed, but maybe fall short again. And now this has just infused so much new energy and excitement and, I think, confidence from the Heat fans about what could happen in the future.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, guys, this, when we were talking before free agency, a group of us over at the station, you know, Clay Ferrell and I and our producer, you know, we were talking about what this team could do. And I said point blank, guys, I think Pat Riley's going to do something big. And I just can't – you saw him in that season-ending news conference and then on draft night. You know, draft night he had that quote that everybody laughed at, you know, there are no obstacles. I mean, there are obstacles, but, you know, you have to deal with them. And I think that was Riley's way of saying, screw it, guys. I'm gonna figure this out. Even if you guys think I'm crazy, I am going to get this done. Andy's a cap guru. He's going to figure this out. We're going to get our guy. And I think the biggest step was – you know, and I think Riley said it last year at the end of the season, the previous year. He said the way the NBA is now, with players really getting say where they go, you have to find a player who wants to play for you. And if Jimmy Butler didn't want to play for the Heat, he wouldn't be here. I mean, there's nothing that the Heat could have forced to do. They could have forced him to sign a long-term contract. The bottom line is Jimmy Butler wanted to be here. Pat Riley identified that, wanted Jimmy Butler to be here, has wanted him for a while, and made it happen. And I think as Heat fans, you have to be excited that if a player wants to be here and they can find a way, they're going to find a way to do it.
Will, was there any tears shed or a moment of silence or sleep missed when you found out Hassan Whiteside is not going to be a Heat player anymore?
You know, I tried to, because I know when I tweeted it out about Hassan and report on the news, the comments you get and the reaction, I get that people are hard on Hassan. But having been around him and, you know, having been there at games and covered him and seen the guy, he's a – I know people find this odd. He is kind of a guy that you like when you get to know him. He just can be so moody at times. And when he puts his head down, I know that frustrates people. But he works, man. And he's gone. To me, I always look at Hassan as a positive story. Bounced around after being in the league, found his way back. I mean, the guy played in Lebanon and ended up being a triple-double with blocks. And you look at his career, all 5 seasons, he averaged a double-double when he played for the Heat. I mean, he, to me, is a good story that – unfortunately, with the big contract, the way the league has changed, just didn't work out. But I think, put it this way, to answer your question, I think it's good that they moved on because I think they've got Bam, who's a unique player with his skill set, and I think they need to feature him at that role. But I wish Hassan the best at Portland, man. I hope he does well.
Yeah, I'm with you, Will, on that one. Will Mansell joining us here, sports director at Local 10 on 560 WQAM. Will, what's next? I know that, you know, Channing mentioned accurately that Jimmy Butler coming here, now this opens up other possibilities. We've seen some rumors and some rumblings about interest in Bradley Beal. The question is whether the Wizards are actually interested in getting rid of him. But what do you make of some of those rumors and the possibility of taking on a John Wall contract in the process?
You know, that's a great question because I think that's been the hot rumor the last couple days, right? And there's no doubt that I think the Wizards at some point are going to look to move him. I just don't see what moving him now does. You know, to me, you want to move Bradley Beal. He's still a couple of years away from free agency. You want to move him when there's a market that's easy to move him. Meaning there's a lot of teams, a lot of money moving around, trying to figure things out, trying to make moves. You don't want to limit yourself to just, hey, the Heat are out there wanting him. I think if you're the Heat, you have to inquire. And whether that includes John Wall or the package, man, that's a tough question. His contract is enormous. And he was actually one of my favorite players to watch in the league pre-injury. I love the way he plays, but you have to wonder the explosion. What's he going to be like after that kind of injury? 4 years at over $40 million a year. When you think of that, you kind of want to slow it down. Now, could the Heat get involved? Yeah, if Bradley Beal's involved, I think they've got to listen. I think they've got to make the call. But I think they're more focused right now on seeing what they're going to do with Gordon as an expiring contract. Could they move him, save themselves a little room with the hard cap and all these things they're dealing with, they're looking at, you know, they're trying to work their way around. There's a lot of things that they may do as far as Ryan Anderson and stretching them. I think they've got to figure that out first. And we all know what the first shoe to drop is. I mean, you got to find out what happens with Kawhi Leonard. You know, once Kawhi picks wherever he's going to go, there will be teams that maybe can facilitate that sort of move I was just talking about. And I think the Heat go from there. But I will say this, Pat Riley always thinks big. So any talk of Bradley Beal or these guys, none of it shocks me because you know he wants more.
And Will, I got to get to the summer league. 5 of 10 from behind the line, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 24 minutes, primary ball handler. Tyler Hero. Like, Will, tell me how excited can I really get about the first game of a rookie for summer league?
Well, I think what, you know, I think with the first game, first of all, we always get excited. I remember seeing Bam. We thought Bam was Will Chamberlain this first game, in his first couple games of Summer League. And granted, Bam's been great, but you got to kind of have to set the cap of what a guy could be. And I think the one thing you see with Tyler Herro right away that I think should make fans excited is we all thought the same thing. You know, I haven't talked to you guys since draft night, but I'm assuming you thought the same thing. Ooh, man, kind of a role player shooter. Is that really what he is? Is that what you need at 14? Couldn't you have gotten something else? Maybe a potential impact player, you know. And Riley and those guys said, look, we've got a guy that we believe in, because in this league you need this kind of player. And trust me, he can be more than a shooter. He can be a facilitator. He can drive. He can play defense. He's got that energy. And I think what you see is now with Jimmy Butler on board, you need those guys. You need that guy that can shoot in this league. And, man, he's not afraid to let it go and let it fly. And you get excited about that possibility. You need that bulldog out there taking those shots, not afraid to just fling it. We've seen it through the years, and we see it now in this NBA. Every championship team needs a guy like that. So there's nothing wrong with, before you're really a championship team, getting that piece first and then build the stars from within, you know, get those stars later. So I'm excited. The guy could shoot, and that's the one commodity in this league that doesn't get old.
Yeah, and I'm just glad that Tyler Herro is not the only exciting thing we're talking about for the Heat this offseason, right? Like, that's among the exciting things that we've detailed during this interview. And, Will, I do want to apologize to you before you start this 4th of July weekend that we started things off by telling you about a butt foot. I mean, I know...
What are you talking about? I'm in the Channelton parking lot just dying to hang up so I can run inside and see it.
All right. Well, we look forward to hearing what your reaction is once you see the pictures. So, Will, thank you very much. An early happy 4th of July to you. We encourage everybody to follow him on Twitter, at Will Mantz, of course. Watch him on Local 10 every night as a sports director. Thanks so much, Will.
Anytime, guys. Have a great holiday weekend.
All right, you too. There he is, Will Mantz, joining us here on 560 WQAM. Man, you have started a firestorm, Janet.
What?
Just the whole oddity that is involved with this butt foot. I did tweet it out. You can check it out, at Greg Likens, GREGLIKENS. We have photographic evidence of your skin graft from your butt on top of your foot. There's hair on it. It's absolutely disgusting, but it's also like, I feel like you should be on tour with a circus or something, right? Where they've got, you know, the strange things going on with people. You could be fit right in with that.
Greg, I'm different. I'm just a different guy. I'm not built like everybody else.
No, you're not.
Different human.
In multiple ways.
Yes.
And we appreciate you for just who you are. How about that?
Radio.com.
Welcome back here, 560 WQAM. Final segment here on the Hawk and Crowder Show. Greg Likens filling in. Alex Salon on the other side of the glass. My goodness. Big thanks to Will Mantz. That was a lot of fun. Great information, right, about the Miami Heat, but also to hear his reaction to the butt foot. I mean, and by the way, we have so many texts and tweets that came in about the butt foot over the course of the show and even just this hour. The Crowder was like, I'm out of here. He bolted. He's like, I'm tired of you guys. I mean, he's got thick skin, but he's like, you know what? Listen, I'm out of here. I don't want to have anything to do with all this rhetoric that is swirling around my butt foot. Right? You know, like, he's like, listen, 4th of July is tomorrow. I'm going to get my mind off of this. Let's move forward and all of that. With that in mind, happy 4th of July to everybody, right? Hope you enjoy tomorrow, and certainly enjoy the holiday weekend if you are taking the time off. Cheap plug for both me and Solana, right? We'll be both on the radio tomorrow. I'll be on tomorrow morning, 6 to 10 a.m. with Dave Hyde. Solana, you're going to be on after that from 10 to 2 with Chris Whittingham. So you can tune in tomorrow. We will have your 4th of July sports coverage. And heck, maybe by tomorrow morning, Kawhi Leonard will have made his decision on where he's going to play basketball. But we've had a great show. It's been a ton of fun. Big thanks again to Will Mantz. Thanks to Crowder. Let's be honest. He made the show by admitting that he has a butt foot. And if you missed any of this, you can check out the podcast via WQAM.com. And Solana, I mean, we recommend you listen to the whole show, but if you are only going to listen to one part of it, listen to the first hour. The first hour was absolutely tremendous.
Everything's cut up, so you can hear us making fun of Crowder for his butt foot. You can make fun of Crowder for the entire hour. Will Mantle's reaction to the butt foot. Everything is cut up for your listening experience.
Okay, so everything butt foot on WQAM.com. Hey, we have a great show coming up next. Fight Night is up next. Frank Zaffrey, Alex Donnell, we're in the house. Make sure you stay tuned. Everybody, happy 4th of July. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, yeah. I actually set my foot on fire, and that's why I have skin off my butt. I had a skin graft from my butt to my foot, so I have a big patch on my butt cheek, and I have butt skin on my foot, and it's real thick hair on the butt skin because it's butt hair, but it's on my foot. So it's thicker hair on my foot because it's butt hair.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.